interesting about playing back the captures from the air simulator through speakers again?
Oh, we didn't play these back through speakers.
I mean, I wonder if there would be anything interesting if you did that.
So this
air simulator is a stereo, two microphones, right?
You're talking about the way we measured them? Yeah, they're two it's basically a head or pinna, two pinna with microphones. So
I'm just thinking you could record that and play it back through a speaker. I wonder if that'd be interesting.
In the distortion experiment that I'm not going to talk about tonight, that's what we did. We've made recordings of different headphones at different playback levels and evaluate those recordings. So anyway, here's the six headphones that we virtualized, and these are headphones that we'd already tested. And here's the response of the real headphones shown as dotted lines. And this is the simulator headphone equalized to simulate it. You can see they're pretty accurate up to about 10 kilohertz. And above 10 kilohertz, there's a lot of measurement error. How you position the headphone on the pinna.
That tone filtering, does that come into play?
These measurements?
Yeah, very high frequencies, the bounce between.
Well, there's a lot of reflections inside the ear canal, so yeah, there's, all this jagged response is reflections inside the ear, resonances in the transducer. It's a combination of those two things. And if you do some averages, recedings of the headphone, you can minimize some of those interference effects. So pretty good accuracy up to about 10 kilohertz. So the first thing when we looked at the results from the listening test is that on average people tended to rate things higher. They used higher ratings when they were listening to the physical headphones versus the virtual versions.
Hmm. Are these trained listeners now?
Yeah, these are trained. So here's the the mean ratings for the virtual headphones. The virtual and the standard. So the overall correlation is about 0.85, but there are some differences. And this happens to be the Audis. So this is the heavy headphone with the high clamping force. So we wondered whether some of these differences are due to that bias. And this other headphone was the closed one that we had leakage effects, and it was rated a little higher in the virtual method relative to HP3, for example. And we thought maybe in the virtual method the leakage effect is obviously not such a factor, and in the real test, the standard method, it was. But the overall trend is very similar. So these are the individual listener preferences, and I've shown the correlation between standard and virtual. And you can see that for some listeners, the correlation is very high. For one listener in particular, there was very low correlation, and the overall correlation averaged across seven listeners was 0.85.
HP5, there seems to be quite a big difference for most of the listeners between the virtual and standard. They rated a lot lower with virtual.
Yeah.
Any thoughts about that?
That's an active noise cancellation headphone, so that might have been a factor. We found that some of these active noise phones are quite finicky, depending on how you position them. And
was your low correlation your untrained listener, one of them?
These were all trained listeners.
Oh, okay.
This one here in particular was less trained.
What's your definition of a trained experience?
Well, we have this software we've written called How to Listen. It's available on the web. You can download it. Has anyone here tried it?
Yes, a little bit.
So it basically introduces distortions to program, and you have to identify, if it's a spectral distortion, what the frequency band is. And if you get it right, it gets more and more difficult. So we define trained as getting up to skill level 7 or higher.
Sean?
Yeah.
Go back to that previous one. That looks surprisingly like some results I've seen testing some of the audio codecs, specifically a change that seemed to be related in some people to imaging.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea if it has anything to do with it, but that the same heavy variation seems to relate between pre-echo and imaging sensitive people. Those are tend to be two different axes.
Yeah.
Just wonder if you have something. It wouldn't be those characteristics, but I just wonder if you have something like that in terms of pinna shape or something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
how do you verify that the match is actually a match for any given person?
Well, you don't. I mean,
that's the problem.
In my slide, I said this method doesn't. It doesn't accurately simulate leakage.
Yeah.
And fitment. Now it could if we individually measured every listener, instead of measuring it on a grass coupler, we could actually measure it on a listener and then implement those filters for the then we probably would get better correlation for some listeners.
That'd be
a lot of work. So here I show the individual listeners. These are the it's not the individual listeners. These are the virtual and standard perceived spectral balances for those six headphones. So pretty good correlation for some of them, HP2, HP3. Pretty poor one for HP1. This is the Audis headphone. So we're not sure why in the virtual method it sounded thinner and a little brighter, but it's something that needs to be repeated.
Could I'm just thinking here, and I don't know, but could different materials in the drivers themselves, like some drivers are magnesium, some are aluminum, could that affect? I don't know the difference. I don't know specifically on the Z ones.
It's a magnetic planar driver, so it's different from the others, but. Apart from frequency response and distortion.
They resonate differently, though.
Yeah, but that should show up in the frequency response. If you have a resonance.
Well, or the other materials in the actual headphone, would that affect?
It will affect the frequency response, but as long as we are accurately capturing that, it should. Yeah.
You just stuck up the thought. Did any of these headphones seem to have some non-minimum phase characteristics? Because that, if you match a non-minimum phase with a minimum phase filter, you can get some weird crap.
Yeah.
Especially if the headphones that you were using for the reference headphones had the non-minimum phase.
And what cables were you using with those?
we're using the cables supplied by the manufacturer. Okay, so
how did you simulate that?
You burnt a lot of money.
So. I'm not going to talk about this one, but we did do a little study where we brought in some college kids. And I'm not going to talk about it because we've done a bigger one since this one was done. But I'm just going to go back to a paper that was done 2 years ago where we had, this was motivated by some reports in the press about audio is doomsday press here, that kids prefer low-bit MP3 and terrible headphones and earbuds. And it was getting reported in the New York Times, so I started getting calls from executives saying, why are we doing research on sound quality when kids don't give a damn? So it turns out it was this guy at Stanford, and it just goes to show you if you throw a big name behind your, it'll get published in the New York Times. But he basically was testing students, music students, over 7 years, and he found more and more they would prefer MP3 at 128 over the original CD lossless version. And it turned out it was never published. It was never peer-reviewed. I tried to contact them, and I couldn't get a return phone call. And yet...
Is it possible he was misquoted by the press?
That never happens.
No. Oh, ask me about that.
Yeah, just watch the film Distortion of Sound, and you'll see lots of misquotes. And
this is John Berger.
Is yours for Berger?
Yeah. So... So anyway, I decided to do a study because I always get people wanting to come on field trips. So we had high school students, three different colleges, and they all had different levels of experience. And we had master students who were actually doing listener training, so I called them the most. We had students with no experience, some visual arts students that had no audio experience. And we did this this test. It was just an A-B test where I took some music and encoded it in MP3 at 128 to simulate what Berger was doing. And they went through nine trials. And we found overall the master students preferred CD in 86% of the trials, but none of them were below 50%. So they were choosing CD quality over MP3 most of the time, and it was really related to their training. If you look at the individual listeners, all of them are pretty well above 50%. The more experienced ones are up near 100%, so there's no preference at all for MP3.
So what was the playback firmware you
used? These were JBL LSR6332s.
So they weren't iTunes or iPhone AirPods?
This is stereo, high-quality stereo playback.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of curious if Berger's test was through, like, an iPhone.
We don't know because he never published the study.
Right. So it may be that there is no perceivable difference with earbuds that he has to have. But in a high sensitivity.
Yeah. I mean, that would be an interesting study. I don't know if anyone's done it. How does the fidelity of the playback chain affect...
I would posit that most visual arts students listen to music while they're working.
Yeah. So the next thing, while they were there, I wondered if they preferred accurate loudspeakers. So I threw these people into a loudspeaker test, and I also had some visiting college students from Japan. And I was interested in their opinions because at the time, one of our customers in Japan was arguing that we need to tune our cars differently for the Japanese market than the U.S. market because Japanese people like less bass and more mid-range.